Games in this podcast range from E to M.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year. Happy 2024. Welcome back to the official Xbox podcast. First one of the year. And I'm joined by my friends, which I'm really excited about. Everyone knows, of course, Jeff Rubenstein,
who's been here. I didn't know I was a friend. I've moved up to friend level.
Yes, exactly.
To 10 episodes.
Fellow podcast host and friend. And Josh Stein as well from our social team, who's here to join us today in initiating the first podcast episode of the year. How exciting.
Thank you. Yeah. It's exciting to ring in the new year with friends. I'm not eight, ten episodes in, but you know, I'll get there.
That's fine.
Yeah, you will get there.
Number two, you're a repeat guest.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll have you out more often so you can talk about Hell Let Loose a little more, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, because there's been a bunch of games that released while we were all on holiday, and then games that are coming out soon that we want to talk about. But let's talk about our holidays first, because I'm sure we all played lots of video games over the break.
A lot of video games, but a lot of family time. This year, I was telling you earlier, last year my wife was like, we were too lazy. We did nothing.
Is that a thing? Can you be too lazy?
I don't think so, okay. You know, but
not
apparently...
Not over a holiday break. That doesn't count.
I was outvoted, so this year she intentionally set up like the 12 days of Stein, with like the 12 days of Christmas, so we had like something every day to do.
Like a human advent calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like unwrap like the door every day?
And it's just Stein in there every time?
With a lot more like teenagers being angsty. The toddler not wanting to do anything, me being tired. No, it was a lot of fun. We went to this Bavarian, right, village, Leavenworth, during Christmas time. So it basically looks like the North Pole. It was gorgeous. We went and saw movies. We went to dinners. We went to karaoke with our in-laws.
Oh.
Sang my heart out. Yeah.
I could go... depends on which, my in-laws, maybe that could be very interesting.
I was pretty 50-50 until I hit Tenacious D and then I had a great
Yes.
There's always one person in the group who's like excellent at singing that
puts
everyone else
That's
to shame.
That's my wife.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah.
I never go after her. I always go first.
I have to go last.
Correct.
Yeah, that should be the rule.
But and then it just had a great time with the kids. So
cool.
It was great.
Love it.
You went on an adventure though.
Yeah.
So I went to Kamurocho.
Wow.
So I was in Japan.
I went to karaoke. You went to Japan.
Where I did not do karaoke, actually, which was maybe a miss on my part. So as a family, we were in Asia for a little while. And as part of that, my daughter was like, is it possible for us to go to Tokyo? And like we did. I was like, yeah, actually, we can fly home from Tokyo. It's closer than you think, actually, believe it or not. And I was like, well... I've been to Tokyo before, usually for work, but I've never been since I got into the Yakuza series in 2020. And so we picked a hotel that was very close to that whole area, which if you look, it's crazy because we're staying in Shinjuku, which is like the busiest train station in the world. If you look at a map, like on like Google Maps or Bing Maps or whatever map you use, if you just look up and to the right, you're like, wait a sec, that is the in-game map. For the game, for the
I didn't know it was based on a real area.
Oh yes, called Kabukicho.
That's cool.
Kabukicho.
It's technically fictional, but very heavily influenced. Very real. Yeah.
So the first night we got there, we're walking through. There was a big group of us, and they were like, "Have you been here before? Like, how do you know?" I was like, "Oh, we'll go to the arcade here, and then we can go over here and get some takoyakis." and they were like, "Have you been here?" And I'm like,
"Just
not
played way
physically,
too many video games.
It is reproduced that." Well, so maybe we'll throw a picture in. Like, there's the arches there, the one where Kiryu always starts every game, like on this street. And like, I mean, it's to the point where there's so in these Yakuza games in Kamurocho, there's like an Italian place called Cafe Alps that you just sometimes you charge up there, you get your health
a little
there,
rest and relaxation.
There's really an Italian place there. It's called Miami Gardens. You know, Miami, well known for its fine Italian cuisine. But it is in the right place, and the amount of things that were right, like the arcade where we did the crane machines, like I just felt like I was at home, and I did not get in any fights. It seemed rather safe.
Nothing dramatic.
Granted, I kept my eyes on the ground most of the time, but I was like on the lookout for people and
just fleeing the random encounters
and everything. Like, exactly. I was like looking, is there like a cone if I need to grab a cone or a bike
be prepared.
And hit somebody with it? And fortunately, none of those things happened.
But they knew you knew all the cafe spots, and you just, like, up your HP every time. It wasn't worth it.
That, yeah. Or I finally confirmed I'm an NPC.
Oh, no. Existential crisis.
I look like I drop, common loot when I'm
Well, you would have had a very different perspective being, like, actually on the streets than you do in that third-person view in the game. So.
Yes, that's true. I will say, it was really cool. And so if you happen to ever make your way to Tokyo and you love those games,
you're in for a thrill.
Yeah, it's just like a feel, like, I know that, I know mm-hmm. that, I've seen that. And it's a testament to the folks at RGG who, yeah. And I'll be talking a little bit about their next game here later in the show, but they really reproduce and capture the feel, which, something to be said for that. That's
makes
really
me wonder, I'm guessing the studio isn't right around the corner, but it makes me wonder, like, are they, like, right there, or
that's a good
is that
question.
Where they maybe just hang out?
It's a pretty popular. It's known as, like, the entertainment district.
Oh, okay.
So there was constantly
so this people, is kind of like a Times Square vibe.
Yeah. It very much a Times Square
vibe. Can be very touristy. Yeah.
Even after midnight, okay. There was, like,
clearly
just
never
so
been
many
Japan.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
high
put it on your
space.
List. I hope you
yeah.
make it.
Amazing.
Definitely worth your while.
It's a great time.
Yeah. Did play a bunch of games, though.
Yes.
So I brought my ROG Ally. Long flight, as you would imagine. And I was like, okay, I'm going to... A couple games I've been sitting on for a while. Thirsty Suitors, which was excellent. I played through that one. Really didn't realize it took place in the Pacific Northwest, so that was kind of cool. Cocoon, though. Mm-hmm. Cocoon is one of the games of the year, and I think it won a game award. It might have won Best Indie. So this is a puzzle game. Had you played it?
Only like an hour.
Okay. Well, then you were a quarter of the way through the game, because it really is only about 4 hours. It is phenomenal.
I love the platforming element, how it kind of, like, changed the degrees of, like, what plane you were playing on.
You only use one button, which is the A button, and all you mechanically do really is pick up these different spheres. But these different, there's like four spheres in the game, but they each confer a different ability.
Oh.
But if you place the sphere on, like, this plinth, you can dive into it and there's, like, a separate world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds a little bit complicated. The reality is it starts off really simple, but then it teaches you a new thing. And at every puzzle, I was constantly like, I'm not going to be able to figure this out. The only thing that could possibly work would be if I did... Oh, wait, that worked.
That's it.
And I would always
That's like
felt
that
like...
portal feeling where it clicks and you feel like a genius, but really it was the game designers that did it.
It's a sign. I think you nailed it. It's like... perfect game design, because you feel like it's pushing you right to the edge, but I'd never to the point where I'm like, okay, I have to go to IGN
or
go to YouTube
and
look this up. And so, fantastic game, 4 hours, got lots of achievements, and it's in Game Pass, so play Cocoon.
No excuses.
None whatsoever.
Me. Yeah. I need to play it.
You can beat it in a weekend.
Which I love. I love having that kind of variety. I'm playing through Baldur's Gate 3, which is the diametric opposite in terms of time spent.
In a short game,
just a little bit.
It's a part-time job.
Yeah, exactly. We were talking to our producer behind the scenes just before the show about how he's about 50 hours, maybe more in, and still only on Act 1. But I love having the variety and options for a tighter, more curated experience. And Cocoon is made by a developer who used to work at Playdead, who made Inside and Limbo. And those are those kind of like...
games ever. Short,
yeah, these like
packages.
Short, concise, kind of tactile experiences, like muted storytelling, just kind of in the environment. So I need to check that out for
sure. Yes, very much do. All right, so tell us,
Baldur's Gate 3.
Where are you at in the game? As generically as possible.
Yes, who have you romanced? No spoilers. We've talked a little bit about this before the show, too. Kind of attempted to romance everyone and then colossally messed up in a few other areas where I locked myself out of some other romances. So that was unfortunate. But I hate to frame it this way, but I'm kind of stuck with Gale. It kind of worked out that way. And only because everyone's so about Halcyon and Astarion, and I feel like I haven't gotten down the path that everyone says is like the romance experience, but
he's got perfect hair and a perfect beard, and you should be happy with what you have.
You know what? He's very sweet, and like,
you shouldn't settle. Throw him in, let him die, move on to a new person.
We're both wizards; we can relate. You know, like
we have things in common.
Exactly, we have things in common.
Magical goods.
Yeah, and you know, all the. I mean, the interesting thing is like. all the characters, including yourself, are in dire straits. Like, that's not much of a spoiler, right at the top of the game. And then each of your companions has, like, something that they're sort of struggling with. And I like the realness of that. So certainly all of the characters are quite flawed in their own way and all interesting in their own way.
Bonding, though, through the experience. Yeah, that's cool.
Exactly. But my joke to you guys was going to be, well, before the break, I was playing Act 1 of Baldur's Gate 3, and I'm now playing a completely different game, which is I've just finished Act 2 of Baldur's Gate 3. So it's just Baldur's Gate 3 for me all the way. I'm about 50 hours in. I'm just approaching the actual gates of Baldur's Gate.
Oh, I was going to say,
I didn't know that was a thing.
That's a thing, yeah. It actually exists.
It's actually a real thing.
The name is
a
real thing, yeah. And it's developing in a really interesting way. We were all just kind of chatting about the different experiences that you can get, and all three of us at one moment were saying, like, wait, I didn't know that could even happen. Like, how did you manage that? And, oh, I didn't realize that could happen.
Wait,
like,
that person could die? Or that person didn't have to die?
Or there was a person entirely that you could have met that, like, leads to this whole other chapter? Or, like, if you do these things out of this sequence or in this sequence? And I love that because it's not just the game that's the experience. It's the friends you made along the way, digitally, and also when you bond
with your...
true
modern, like, choose your own adventure.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, exactly.
Had you played a bunch of, like, CRPGs, as they're referred to, before?
I'm a huge RPG fan, and also, like, long-term BioWare player, so more so, like, not quite in this kind of category, but it's just, it's very, like, easy to pick up on, and the storytelling is so incredible, and it really clicks with you, too, like, just the different kind of elements of the gameplay that you can really leverage, especially with Baldur's Gate 3, like, historically, with RPGs, I don't really use a ton of buffs and scrolls for that kind of strategy in battles. Yeah. I'm like, potions and my spells. Like, those are kind of my right and my left hands. Yeah. But Baldur's Gate 3 has, like, encouraged me to get a little bit more.
I was going to say, what are you playing? What's your what's your character?
I am a sorcerer.
Okay.
I'm an elf sorcerer.
Okay. So you are drinking potions, throwing fireballs.
Yes,
but
yes.
You're also reading scrolls.
Well, yeah. So the scrolls are, like, kind of... because there's scrolls and there's potions. So, like, potions, which often overlap in a lot of ways. So there's, like, scrolls of invisibility versus potions of invisibility. So you have your options in that sense. But potions, I mean mostly, like, not that you have this option in Baldur's Gate 3, but, like, mana replenishing and health replenishing.
Yeah.
Your standard issue potions. Yeah. But the more, like, buff-centric, perk-centric stuff I've never really dabbled with too much. But, man, the combos that you can get to. And I'm high enough level now where I've got this wall of fire. And I love just, like, hitting a level 4 spell, wall of fire, and trapping all of my enemies in one place, and then, like, laying down some other kind of glyph that they step on in another section where there's some other enemies, and they explode themselves, essentially. And it's a lot of interesting, like, compounding that's going on. But we were also talking about, like, what's your ideal party? Because this is another part of the Baldur's Gate 3 experience. And I just don't have choices. I don't have options because I either did not meet or messed up the side quest sequences to have them join my party, or maybe got some people killed.
So. I've got people just sitting in camp, and they're like, when are you going to call me?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
what's
you could
that
be
like?
A little more polite, you know?
Next time say please, and maybe.
Yeah, there's certain characters that really are kind of gruff, and I'm like, you can be gruff here back at camp, because I'm moving on with the
it's
fun
true.
People.
Yeah. But it switches up the dialogue sometimes. It's interesting.
Yeah, we're just like a nice group of people who like to... bludgeon goblins.
So who's your ideal party then? Not the gruff people.
Well,
I'm
in early Act 2, and I am a paladin, which I didn't realize kind of like locks you into a bit of a moral code, where it's like, so occasionally,
like
we can talk
good,
about
yeah.
like sort of a lawfully good person. So like a lot of times, like you're sort of obligated to. You can't like look the other way. It's like, oh, this group is keeping these people hostage, I am obligated to free them. So I'm almost like a little too good for my own good. But if not, you actually get, if you do something that is like, you know, off base, you're actually visited by like a very angry something that's like, I'll see you tonight, buddy.
Whoa.
You know, and then I'm like, okay, reload.
You're like a higher power that comes down, a mom, and is like, we got to talk.
Yeah. You're way off track
wow.
here, buddy. So so I'm elfin. I've got like a kind of a pointy ear, so I'm embracing all of that. But so I'm with Karlok, who is
the fire lady, right?
Fire lady, yep. And she's the muscle and humorous Australian accent of the group. Shadowheart, who's sort of the healer, and slowly I think I'm breaking the facade, you know? We get it, you're a little goth, but you know,
isn't she a little more emo?
Yes, but she's coming out. I don't want to like label people, but she's softening, I think, that's a little bit.
And I'm translating the social that I see about these characters.
Well, they all come in with their like preconceived notions about right and wrong
and
like
problems and issues.
Exactly.
And,
but some and then over
are
time,
really angry, and then some people like the
it's cultural differences.
Like Gale, who you're really taking for granted. You know, it's just like nice from the get go.
I know
he's crying at home right now.
So I've got Gale, and I switched off with Will, who's another. You know, pretty well-adjusted person considering the things that happened to him. So I'm still pretty early. I think there's lots of other characters that I'll be able to experience, but I am not. I had never really played a CRPG, or I had bounced off of them. And you're right. It clicks with you, and then it's like I could play this game forever.
Absolutely,
it feels that way.
But on the topic of saves coming, because you mentioned like we got to reload saves sometimes. Yeah. I would just like to put out there that. In some situations, with some games, save scumming is totally okay.
Yeah.
It's totally reasonable.
Your game, your journey.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe for dialogue choices, if you really want to go down the path of, like, I'm role-playing, like, these are the decisions I would have made, let's just stick with them. Okay, you don't have to reload in that instance. Maybe you're cheating a little bit if you do, but everybody play how you want. But for Baldur's Gate 3, I might be, you know, wandering around and pretending to be one of the whatever camp I'm infiltrating at that point and relying on my dialogue and my charisma and my persuasion roles and accidentally hit A in the wrong moment and pick something up and I've stolen things and now they're attacking me and that's totally
chaos
okay.
And Susan.
Yeah,
I was just looking
exactly.
At it.
Yeah. Or I'll start a battle knowing that I've got probably three more encounters in an area where you can't fast travel to your camp for a long rest. So inevitably, I want the first few to go well enough to where I don't need to use any of my health potions. And I will reload on those moments, too, if I feel like I've ended a battle with
there's
far
no
too
judgment for
low health. Yeah. Here,
yes and.
Yes and.
There's no judgment for me.
I there's certain situations where I pick up the wrong thing or I didn't really understand the rules of engagement. And I'm like, oh, that's how this works. Okay, I will try this again because it went really bad. Where I think there's a line for me personally, and again, maybe I'm manifesting my inner paladin, I don't reload for bad rolls. Like, if I roll a one, and, like, sometimes I'm just like, all right, that was the dice. I'm going to let the dice do
well,
their thing.
The in-game feature lets you reroll, though, if you have enough inspiration.
Yes, of course, but I don't reload.
Yes,
because you can actually save, like, literally when you're on the dice menu.
Yes, you can. Yes, and, I do
you
love
can
that.
Save, roll the dice, hate it, go back, load, roll the dice again.
You can save in the middle of a cutscene. Like, you can save whenever, which is incredible. Okay. Yeah.
So
I thought this was just like, maybe if you go down the right path, you cue the cutscene on you, like, oh, shit, I need to go look down the left path.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But, like, you could re-roll every and win every dice roll in the game if you really
That's a little
That's a bit much for me. But anyway.
Well, there's also some roles, not to get so deep into it, but there's some roles where
welcome
it's like...
Welcome to Baldur's Gate podcast,
the
everyone.
Baldur's, official
live
Baldur's
from
Gate
the Xbox podcast,
podcast
studio. Sorry.
Indeed. No, it was a good setup. Yeah, like there's some roles where you got to hit 30, and I'm just like, okay, if I'm not some kind of expert in, let's say it's persuasion, and I've got like, you know, my character spec'd out for that, I'm not even going to try, so it's not worth it. But occasionally, it's a sorcerer, you know, moment, and I should be able to hit my character class, and I don't. And then I will use the in-game feature to reroll. But that's my
barometer. But you have to earn those.
You do, yes. You spend credits on them, essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I that's fair. That's fair. It's all fair, I guess.
Well,
it's just how much what you would tell somebody else that you save scum on a roll.
But. Yeah, it's true. But hey, you know, there are scenarios where it makes sense. It's totally appropriate.
So I want to ask you, because your role, so to speak, in real life involves the Developer Direct, which was announced this week. And
that's
I want to talk about that. But let's make sure we come back to, because I want to come back and talk about Like a Dragon, because there was some news there, and I got to visit Sega last month. But
bunch of game news.
But the news of the week is the Developer Direct, and you're the executive producer of this upcoming show. So, like,
tell us all the secrets.
I know. Honestly, I'm just like brimming and so excited for everyone to be able to see this on January 18th at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Please tune in. But yes, myself and Aaron Greenberg are co-EPs on the show, and it's interesting because we have a lot of shows. Like we do like the June showcase. You see us at Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show. Like we've got a slightly different approach for some of these shows. And Developer Direct is pretty new. We launched it last year, and it's meant to just be a very like authentic, like deep from inside the studios, like literally filmed within the studios, presented by the developers themselves, just nerding out about their own games. And I personally like love working on the show because I get to travel out to the studios and meet the developers that are working on our games.
That's really cool.
And just hearing from them individually. And, you know, I come from a content background. So, of course, I'm going to be like, oh, maybe we can rephrase this, or do we move this sentence around for flow purposes? But ultimately, it's a lot of just asking them, like, well, what is cool about this feature? And, like, how did you get there?
And they've been living and breathing this for years, building and talking about these stories, these characters, these whatnots.
Yes. And there's some really cute stories in there that I can't wait for people to hear. It's all very informative.
Yeah.
But there's a couple, like, there's just people's personalities coming out. And there's a couple moments where I have watched this show so many times because that's how production works. You're just watching the same segments over and over and making sure everything's very polished. So I've watched this thing so many times. And I will laugh every single time at one thing in particular. See if you can guess it, folks at home.
Okay.
And then when we come back, I'll make sure to break that one out and mention it. But if you haven't heard, Developer Direct next week, as of the time of you watching this podcast, and we go deep with Indiana Jones from Machine Games, which I think is really exciting.
So yeah, I'm gonna marathon it this weekend just to get excited.
Oh, that's a good move, especially because it's been very rainy here. I love like rainy day.
Love a good rainy movie. Yeah,
absolutely, yep. And that's a good one to do. So Indiana Jones finally gonna get an reveal of what the game is with 10 minutes of gameplay, which is just incredible. So that's going to be very exciting. We also chat with Obsidian's developers over at Irvine. They're going to talk a little bit more about Avowed.
Very popular on social.
A lot of people are really excited to
hear and see more about Avowed.
Yeah, there's some real like Pillars of Eternity fans out there, which is very cool. And it's a classic kind of Obsidian experience, just like deep storytelling, gameplay that intersects with it. The same sort of things that we were talking about with Baldur's Gate in terms of like you're getting to kind of see people's different takes on things. Mm-hmm. Like it's that kind of experience, an Obsidian experience, essentially. Oxide working on Aura History Untold. Like I'm not even much of a strategy player myself, but wow, like it's one of my favorite parts of the shows. Like I can't even say that because every part in its own way is my favorite, but I was just so delightfully surprised talking, like for someone who's not personally like proactively going out there seeking out these kinds of games, how enthralled I was, like just hearing what they
how
have to say.
How these people build these
it.
Worlds, basically.
Yeah, and like what they think, because they come from Civilization V background and expertise, so they've had a lot of time to think about like the grand strategy genre and like how do you like what features do they want to innovate on. So there's a lot of information in there about little things that they tweaked and made their own, so that it feels more living and breathing, but also like more functional for the player. Like give you some different options of how to play. So all that stuff's going
to
be
very cool. To play it at Gamescom, which is already half a year ago, because we had it out for media, and I think they do have an insider program where they've got certain flights that people have been playing for quite some time, so they're listening to fans. But it is really cool to see the areas as people that have tremendous experience in those sort of 4X games. Like, what are the things that they think are important
to make?
Exactly. That's it's like, cool. If we could make the game we wanted to make, what would it be like? And that's this game. So I'm very curious to see what they'll be showing next week.
Yeah, me too. No.
I love you playing coy. Like, oh, yeah, can't exactly. wait. Seen it 50 times.
Yeah, seen it 50 times. It's excellent. But it's so cool because they had such a great showing at Gamescom too at our booth. And I heard from a lot of like my former press friends, current friends, former press coworkers. Anyway, that everybody like really loved the experience that they had there too, which was really fun because, again, like strategy genre can be like you either like strategy games or you don't. But this felt so like much more accessible to people from what I've heard, what I've personally seen. And then, of course, we also have Hellblade 2, Senua's Saga, diving back in with Senua's Journey over at Ninja Theory. And it's just such a, like, interesting, like, shift in mood when you think about it, you know, like, from all of the different... I love the diversity of the games that we work on. And with Hellblade, it's this, like, really well-crafted, like, I mean, we've seen recently at the Game Awards also, like, it's just heavy. It's heavy in, like, a really intriguing
way. They showed up amazing
well
at the Game Awards. I love the performance they did, the flame,
oh my God.
Fire.
Hai Lung,
like,
incredible.
Yeah, they're, like, this throat yelling. It was really cool. It was the first time I'd seen that. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. But then, of course, the trailer, the footage that they showed,
absolutely.
The gameplay... everyone loved. It was phenomenal to see in person. And so I can't wait to hear more about them.
I know. And that was the really, really incredible thing about being in person. It's just the Hai Lung performance in particular. And you can tell, like, wow, what a good fit for the game as well.
Oh, perfect.
It's just the tone, the vibe, and that there's a lot more that they'll explain as well about the craft of bringing Hellblade together. And so that's the moments where you get to nerd out with developers and just hear about, like, why they made decisions that they do, like, what their philosophy is as a team. So that's Developer Direct in a nutshell, both next week's, but also philosophically as a show. Like, that's just the opportunity for people to see, like, trailers, like, a really well-made trailer with a great track against it, like, is so memorable. You know, I think about Mad World against Gears, like, those things that, like, really stick with you. But then having this opportunity for developers to just talk about their trade themselves and get a peek behind the curtain, so
and a lot
to speak.
Of this is coming off, if I'm wrong, the feedback from the first one. Because you were part of, weren't you part of helping put together the first one last year?
Yeah.
Wildly successful.
Loved it,
I'd say on behalf of the community, they absolutely loved it and were over the moon.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys looked at that, read that feedback, and then when you went into production for this one, that kind of fed into it.
Yeah, there was this sort of theory that, you know, as people who enjoy games, like, we like hearing about them and how they're made from those people. So it was a bit of a test of that theory. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Developer Direct last year, I think, went well. It was really fun to put that together. Yeah, selfishly
just
incredible
modest,
to work on
smashing.
This show.
So
I'm glad. So we'll have to smash that one now.
So, and then after that,
there's
Bethesda
a whole
team.
Other stream yes. after that, too. So our friends at ZeniMax are debuting
online, yes.
The kind of global reveal event. So it's the Elder Scrolls Online 2024 global reveal event.
Like the next chapter?
And it'll be the next chapter. So this is their, like, this is a kind of historic thing for them. Like, they put together this stream to talk about the next big chapter in the Elder Scrolls Online. So there's tons of, like, here's this big update with all these features, like, new parts of the storyline, diving into, like, what the zone is going to be, what that experience is. So it's just going to be a big news day for us, which is really exciting. On that note, nothing from our friends at Activision, Blizzard, or King, just as an FYI.
More to come later this year.
Yeah, of course. We've got a whole, it's only January. We've got a whole year to talk
transparency
about
transparency and hype.
Yes, exactly. Yes, measured in both senses. But yeah, it's going to be a big day, a fun day. I'm looking forward to it and hearing what everybody has to say and what you guys think of all the segments too.
We'll let
And take
so
notes
every
time. So we
won't have a show next week because we normally are on Thursdays and Developer Direct is on Thursday. And I think
kind of a pause.
Otherwise, we'll just be sitting there going, like, you know, that thing.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. So we will talk about, though, the games that have come out last week. We'll touch on games that came out last week, games that are coming out next week, Game Pass games, just because we want to make sure you all get your fill of the news as well. So there's a bunch of games that came out last week that we can touch on. One is Stuffed. It's you've stopped me if you guys have heard of these games, because I looked at all the games to make sure I got the highlights for everyone.
I don't know this game.
Stuffed is, it's a procedurally generated first-person shooter. So you're basically playing as a little teddy bear in a little girl's dream. It's funny because I was reading,
but
it's
an FPS.
It's FPS, yes,
but it's an
exactly.
FPS Oregon.
Well, okay, so
you're... Oh, no, it is an FPS. You're not kidding.
It literally is an FPS.
You don't want to upset the snuggle bear.
Oh, my
God. So, I mean, his weapons are
this
like...
This is like Cabbage Patch versus your, like, stuffies.
Kind of. So, because you have, like, little gnomes and little, like, evil-looking rubber duckies come at you.
Oh.
And then you as the teddy bear. So, it's round. It's wave after wave, hence procedurally generated. And you're able to unlock, like, as you're killing wave after wave, you're getting money and unlocking, like, new weapons. There's, like,
an
RPG equivalent of not an actual RPG. So, your main weapon that you get, you have, like, a little twig that you can hit things with. That's, like, your melee weapon.
Nice.
And then you have a cola can that powers what looks like a stapler gun with, like, rubber bands, and then you can upgrade that to, like, a comic book cards.
I really hope we have footage of this playing
now. It's pretty ridiculous. Kind of like Toy Story-esque, you know, because there's these, like, toys come alive. But you're using all these household, like, weapon item, like, modified items. I've heard a lot of people online say, because people have been playing it, I've heard a lot of people say it's like Call of Duty Zombies, but for kids. And I don't think you could describe it any better than
that. First FPS.
Yes, exactly. Baby's First FPS. Yes. So it's got that balance of, like, very cute, very Toy Story, and then the evil rubber ducky eyes come at you, and
it's
you're
a
like,
great
oh,
concept.
It's a serious FPS, actually. So that's Stuffed. And then we have the theme of the week seems to be a lot of roguelites and Metroidvanias. Okay. So this is one, it's called Trinity Fusion. It's set in like a multiverse kind of sci-fi setting. So like the multiverse is kind of crumbling apart and you have to unify them to make sure that the world does not end in on itself. It's side-scrolling action game. You've got like the part of that multiverse story is you've got two versions of yourself. Oh. And if you combine the two versions, you have more of those abilities. So it's like playing a lot with that sci-fi multiverse setting as part of the story, but also the gameplay.
There was a game that Ubisoft had like maybe on the late 360 era or early Xbox One that sounds really familiar.
Oh, with the two and it was like blue and red. Yeah.
That was a really cool game. Now I got to look it up.
Yeah. Remind me of the name because my memory is terrible. But it's interesting. It looks really fluid. There's like some really cool action moments in some of the footage that I've seen. You can like freeze enemies and use them as platforms.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is cool. Yeah. And there's a bunch of traps. It just looks, it all looks very smooth.
How humiliating is a bad guy to come charging in and then he's just,
like frozen.
You're now a stepping ladder.
Exactly. You are now just the item that I use to get to the next platform and forget about you completely. And then a final release from last week, I think it was, is Railbreak. And the best way I can describe this, I've heard people describe it as like, oh, it looks very House of the Dead. It's like a, and I say this in a positive way because I love horror and I love all horror. But it's very like that cheesy B level horror kind of style.
Oh, yeah.
Both the, you know what I'm talking about, like super campy, like the dialogue, the visuals.
I always call it the 80s.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly,
the 80s movie vibe.
Yeah. What was the Ubisoft game?
Outland.
Outland, yes, Outland. Yes.
Well, hopefully, we have it all long since put video in there. Outland was a great game. You should definitely try it
Producer's
out.
Producer's like, I got you.
Yes. He's like, okay, fine. Oh, it was made by Housemarque. Oh, okay, cool.
There you
go. Yeah, it came out in 2011.
Well, we also have some new Game Pass games as well. So
it's a big damn Game Pass today.
Indeed. So a big, well, also from Ubisoft, like, do you have 100 hours? Because if so, I have the game for you, and that is Assassin's Creed Valhalla. We very much enjoyed a shorter Assassin's Creed experience here in the past year with Mirage, but this sort of the apex of like their big full RPG where you take over Eivor, you're literally taking over all of England and parts of Norway.
Little Raider and everybody.
Yeah, even going into the mythical Valhalla.
I like the mythical side of it a lot. Yeah. Like, kind of plays with some of the gods and the mythology.
Yeah, quite
a bit. But there's nothing more satisfying than, like, rolling up in your Viking boat with, like, dual axes, jumping out, everyone screaming, you're charging, you're pillaging, you know.
Battering the doors down.
Taking down the doors. And then when you pillage too, you like have checkpoints. Mm-hmm. Some of the lands I love that you can like take the beach. Then once you take the beachhead, then you take over like the civilian huts, and then you take over the church. So it sounds bad when I say it out loud, but in the video game context, it's a hell of a lot of fun.
So very cool that. So that's waiting for you if you haven't gotten there yet. Also, Figment, which is a game. It's an action adventure game, but it's really musical related and
step on some piano keys.
You know.
Very like, surreal world.
Yeah. So probably worth checking out there. On the sports side, Super Mega Baseball 4 is out today. Very much the... If MLB The Show is the sim and it gets every little detail right, Super Mega Baseball 4 is like, it's about having fun. Now, it has real players and there is actually a fair amount of depth.
I love that, like a boot-up
and
arcade experience.
Yeah, like I grew up with like RBI Baseball.
Yeah.
Like, that was my jam. And obviously, games got much, much more serious and realistic since that point. But there's still that fun arcade experience. And well, anyway, that's here for you in Game Pass as well. And making a return... We Happy Few, taking place in a
fan favorite
1960s drug-fueled, Austin Powers went very wrong.
And very dark.
Dark.
And World War II went very wrong and very dark.
Yes, from our friends at Compulsion Studios up in Quebec. And so that was in Game Pass for a long time. And then, you know, these things happen.
That's the important thing.
So if you didn't get a chance to play it or beat it, this is your chance to do it. And then looking ahead to next week.
One more Game Pass game.
Oh,
very important
this
because Stein's been playing.
Yes, this came out last
Hell
week.
Let Loose.
Okay, so if you ever have watched Band of the Brothers, or if your Roman Empire is watching World War II documentaries, or if you've ever enjoyed a Call of Duty, any kind of FPS like World War II game, I promise you, Hell Let Loose is waiting for you and your squad. Now, two advices. One, bring a group of friends. And if you don't have friends, open your mics up and have fun. This is a Friday night, 9 p.m., Like, let your role-playing flag fly in this one. It is so much fun because I've got like 100 hours in this between like PC and like just playing the hell out of this because this is, no pun intended, this has become like a regular rotation for me and my friends. And literally Friday, 9 o'clock, my kids are going to bed. My wife's like reading on her Kindle in the other room quietly. And then she just hears me screaming, "Medic! Medic!" I'm like down because you'll like go all comms and it'll show you like how close a medic is and it'll be like 40 meters, 30 meters, 20 meters. And I'm like, "Mama, I don't want to go home. I want to go home."
And don't then, go into the light.
And then he'll come up and he'll be like, "I got you, son." And he'll like stick you with his like little adrenaline. They'll wrap you up and he'll be like, you know, some swearing, you know, yeah, get on the front line, you blah, 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 bleep, bleep, bleep. And then you're like, "Okay." And then like this barrage, it's like a theater of war. This barrage will come in. It's called like a streak barrage. And this thing will like, boom, boom, and I swear to God, your gums rattle when this thing goes off.
How loud do you have your headphones
up? So loud. I have the brand new A50s. I have them so loud as this thing's going off. And then this commander's yelling at you if you're like the, because you have different roles. You can be like a rifleman, you can be a medic, you can be an anti-tank. So like your commander will call down and be like, "We got an enemy panzer on the point. I need an anti-tank." And so I'll go in, I'll respawn, I'll go anti-tank, I'll come in with like this bazooka. It's only got like 2 shots. And like he's like mowing people down. He's got a machine gunner. This whole squad spawns. They get wiped out as like the machine gunner's raining fire. And your captain scream, which my friend, like Ethan, screaming at me.
Oh, I thought this was like an NPC.
No, these are people.
You're really role playing.
Yeah, you just gotta let yourself go. I promise, it is so much fun. Be embarrassed. Have some fun with it. I'll Let Loose is some of the most fun I've ever had. And just, this is what it makes me excited to play games like Baldur's Gate or like have a D&D campaign. Because it helps me get into character where I'm just like screaming on the front lines and like some guy's like buried his head in this foxhole and I'm like, "Get your head out of the dirt and push, push." I'm like, "Die and respawn, die and respawn." And we're just screaming at each other. And it's
Are you going to be streaming this, man?
It is so, I should. It's so much fun. Corinne, my wife, gets so mad at me because I will scream at the top of my lungs as we're like, I'm like, "A barrage is coming in," and I'm like running and I'm like getting to the other side of the fence, and then Ethan will be blown up next to me, his arm will hit me in my face and I'll be like, "No!" And like we're just screaming. Very animated.
It sounds okay.
I think it's the purest way to experience Hell Let Loose is just to let yourself go and have so much fun with it. Otherwise, like, it's fun, it's tactical, you pick a role, and you can just pick a rifleman. Yeah. You don't have to get way into it. I would say start with a rifleman and then see where the adventure goes.
Well, it's on Game Pass. You try it out.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. Sorry to get really loud. Sorry for the sound guy. But
I think you woke up the kids upstairs.
It's so much fun. And just, yeah, I guarantee either turn your mic on so that way you can just kind of have that all group chat, or just bring a couple friends with you and have one hell of a good time.
My understanding is it's very high on the realism route. So
yeah, oh yeah.
It's like you get 50 v 50.
You get plinked in the head, you're done. Like, it's not like, let me get down and rub a patch on and get back into it. But you respawn pretty quickly. You know, there's garrison, there's capture points. You know, as long as the team's kind of working together somewhat cohesively, you can have a pretty good show. I mean, sometimes people will just go rogue and everyone wants to be a sniper. It's like, yeah, that's not really how you can win.
That's not that
you can't really win a game. Yeah. The thing I would also say is it's like real theaters of war. So it's pretty like there's a D-Day one where you rush a beach and you defend a beach. There's a Stalingrad one where I think it's Stalingrad, the average like lifespan of a soldier was 24 hours. And it feels that way when you play in Stalingrad.
Yeah, the enemy at the gates. Yeah, that was...
Any of those movies, it's basically that. Wow. But you got to let yourself have that experience.
Yeah. And we've been getting a lot of requests for Hell Let Loose on Game Pass.
Yeah,
so
we've been seeing a lot of people really excited today about it, start to talk about it. I think the Hell Let Loose developers were talking about, like, players are up.
Oh, good.
People are experiencing it. So that's what I love, you know, not to pander, but I do love the thing about Game Pass is literally... it'll just breathe life into a game that has a great experience. Mm. You just got to introduce it to more people so they can just jump in and play with it. And so I'm really excited it came over to Game Pass.
Very cool.
Amazing.
So it's not just the games that are directly into Game Pass this week. There's actually, as part of the benefits that you get as a Game Pass member, something called Free Play Days. You may be aware of this. Sometimes a game's just available from like Thursday night through Sunday night, something like that, something for you to
try
out. Try,
yeah.
Yeah, and usually those games are also on sale. This week is a really big one. It is EA Sports Week. And so almost all of their EA Sports games are part of free play days. I'm just going to read them out. Mm-hmm. EA Sports FC 24, that's the soccer one. Mm-hmm. EA Sports F1 23, EA Sports PGA Tour, and NHL as well. There's quite a few of them. And then I want to say that EA Sports FC 24, you don't even have to be a Game Pass member and you'll be able to play that one. Basically, if you have an Xbox, cool. you'll be able to just download it and play it. And I mean, we're right in the middle of the European soccer season, so there's so much. MLS is getting ramped back up pretty soon here. So good time to jump back in there. But something else going on this week that's completely unrelated is it's CES this week. And a lot of stuff comes out of CES. It used to be a big gaming show like way back in the day. But there's still some gaming stuff, usually around PC gaming. There were a couple really fun announcements this week. One is, and I love my handheld gaming devices. I'm an Asus ROG Ally owner.
Yeah.
I've gotten to spend a lot of time with the Lenovo Legion Go. Something that's caught my eye is the MSI Claw, which seems to have taken... it just seems each one that comes out looks at the one that came out before and goes, well, what if we tweak this? What if we tweak this? So I've definitely got my mind on... It's living up here rent-free, especially because it has more battery, more milliamps of battery power inside it than any of the existing systems.
Cool. So, I think also the screen was a little different too.
Screen, I think the screen is very similar to the to the ROG Ally. It's a 1080p, I want to say it goes up to 120 hertz. So I think relatively similar. It's 16 gigs of RAM. So I think relatively similar. It does have an Intel chip. So the first one of these, most of them have had AMD chips. So obviously people will do all the benchmarking and all that stuff. But
pick your poison, pick your preference.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But looking at the battery life, it's like, ooh, that could be really good. So I'll be keeping an eye on that one and maybe we even get to try one out. The other thing that was really interesting, Hyperkin, if that name is familiar to you, they brought back the Duke several years ago, back in like 2018, give or take. Well, they're going back to the well, and the Xbox, OG Xbox Controller S, which is what replaced the Duke in that original OG Xbox.
First diet. This is the one.
Exactly.
One
shrunk down, moved some of the buttons around a little bit. Well, they just announced they're going to be remaking that. Date, pricing, all those stuff still yet to be announced, but they had some pictures. I saw it on Polygon. Look really cool. So
I think enough people love the OG Duke launching that clearly they had a good vibe there from the community to tap into like, well, let's go deeper into this.
Exactly. So we'll try that out when we can.
It looks great. Yeah.
But that was my first Xbox controller. So it has a good spot in the heart here for me.
Awesome. Well, on that note, we have a couple other games to talk about as well, because we're actually not going to have a podcast next week, as Jeff mentioned earlier. So why not talk about the games that are coming out next week? There's two on our list that we've been looking at. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, that was announced in June of last year. I have to remember that 2023 was last year. it's interesting. It's Prince of Persia as a 2D platformer, essentially. You're not playing as the prince. You're playing as Sargon, who's this immortal. You're actually trying to go and save, go rescue the Prince of Persia, who's been stuck between time and dimensions, because, of course, time and dimensions are
always a feature.
Another like kind of Metroidvania-ish-like experience. But they have a really interesting new feature, which I think is very cool, that all future games should probably look at adopting. As you're going back and forth on the map, which is that, you know, classic experience, and you're running into roadblocks because you don't have the abilities or whatever it might be that allows you to progress in that one particular area, you can take a screenshot of it and attach it onto the map, which for someone who can be so forgetful, as I've progressed into a whole other area, and now I'm like in this mentality, in this level with these enemies, just being able to go back and get that visual reference is so helpful. Or I imagine it will be. I haven't played it yet. A bunch of people out there on the press side have played it. It's been getting like really great early impressions too. So seems like one to keep an eye on, especially when you consider the developers of Rayman Legends are working on this.
That seems like a good feature. How many times have you like taking your phone out and taking a picture of the screen.
I have absolutely done that. When it's like a combination lock code.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay, hold on. I got to go
doing
to
that
stash.
In Alan Wake, too. I'm like, is this a fox or a wolf?
The code stash is like, is it triangle left, triangle right? I just took pictures
that
of
that. That was absolutely the last game I was taking tons of pictures of. It's in my camera
roll.
We all
did that. That's
we all did that.
It's a great insight.
Exactly.
That
they have. But now you got it in the game. How nice. How convenient.
That's great.
Yeah.
Cult of the Lamb.
Another one.
Also has a pretty cool update, Sins of the Flesh, which is a great. I love their...
That sounds right on
and it's
brand.
Right on brand for what it is. You get to love some of your followers, your loyal followers. They also worked on like XP grind for it. So like when you had to do things like clean up people's barf and poop and kind of the area, you now get a little bit more XP for it.
You should get all the XP for that.
Yeah, yeah, clearly, yeah. But you also get a, you know, they've got like a mating tent in it now, which also, so you get an egg. And you can also just crack the egg and have a yolk. You don't have to let it grow up into a follower, so it really leans in on like...
But you need the follower.
Well, if you have a lot of followers, but you need the eggs, might want the eggs instead.
So they really, what a quandary.
Yeah, really lead you down the path of like Dark Choice 1 or Dark Choice 2. But Cult of Lamb, and I believe that update's going to be free for people.
All right. So one of the things we always like to do here... Oh, we can talk about real quickly. Game Pass, of course, there's more games coming out next
week.
Yes,
even more games. That's
Since
right.
Since we won't be here, yeah.
Yes, there's Resident Evil 2, which if you... This is the remake from 2018. It's a must play, absolutely. So this is your chance if you haven't yet because it's on Game Pass.
We'll be checking homework.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure you finish it.
As well as Those Who Remain. Have either of you guys played Those Who Remain?
No.
Oh, I have not either. But
we'll have
now
to report back.
Now, exactly. Now the three of us.
Now we have homework.
Now, damn it.
All right.
Yes. But exciting things coming up next week and into the future. And on that note, I think we can talk about just into the future overall, 2024, what we're looking forward to.
Yeah. We like to, you know, we're getting into, this is Thursday. It's in some call it Little Friday.
Yep.
I've heard it referred to as such. Thursday night's always, you know, it's effectively, you're almost there. You're almost to the weekend. And we like to celebrate Friday with Free Code Friday. And we're always thinking like, well, what's that thing that's really top of mind that we can ask you out in the listening sphere? We all listen in a sphere. Don't look, I'm getting started. I'm just getting, I
We're just waking up. We're still in holiday
brain mode. I don't know what year it is,
exactly.
For God's sake. And sort of just looking forward to 2024, like 2023 coming off an amazing year for games to play. What are you looking forward to for 2024? And I'll just lead off while you think a little bit.
Why is it like a dragon?
Well, it's 100%. So I was looking and I was listening to Cam Hawkins, who was guesting on the Spawn on Me podcast, which is, you should absolutely listen to the Spawn on Me podcast because it's really good.
Cleef
Adams, fantastic human. And Cam was talking about, this is like an amazing year for like turn-based RPGs, just that have been announced that are coming this year. And the first one that we'll be playing is Yakuza Like a Dragon. I actually went down to Sega and I got to play it last month. An amazing reproduction of Hawaii. Like I was talking about going to the real life Kamurocho. Like if you've been to Honolulu, you have been to like the area that is featured in Infinite Wealth. Like there was the point where I'm like, am I in the Ala Moana Mall? And I was like, yeah, no, I am. This is where I'm at. And it's really cool to, this game has so much. So I got to play a little bit of Honolulu, which really captures some you know, great feeling of Hawaii. Like even the ABC stores are in it. Like,
that's cool.
You know, where you, oh, I ran out of suntan lotion and booze. Well, guess what? There's one place that has both of those things for you. It's an ABC store. And I need a hat. Also got you covered. But then we played other parts of it. We went to Dondoku Island, which is like a whole like life sim builder, like within
quite a tonal shift from the rest of the game.
And
I'm sure
it was so much fun cleaning up the island and capturing animals and everything. So a little Animal Crossing, or maybe a lot of Animal Crossing in your Yakuza Like a Dragon experience. I got to enjoy that. And then something we haven't seen quite as much of is going back to Yokohama, where a group of folks was with Kiryu, chalking off his bucket list. So he's dying in this game.
Oh.
And you're realizing as Kiryu, like how little you've done in life besides, you know, constantly fighting. You've actually done you've boxed
a
tiger. You've done a lot of stuff. Yeah. But so you actually like go to a batting cage and you're like doing all these things that you can do and like sort of having a fun time with a group of characters as well. So this game is going to have so much diversity to it. That's out in about 2 weeks. We'll be talking a heck of a lot more about it. But an early lead for like what I'm looking forward to in terms of Game of the Year, but there's just a ton of other RPGs that are coming, like Ayudin Chronicle, 100 Heroes is coming out. We've got, actually, just a week after Like a Dragon, we're going to get to have Persona 3 Reload.
That's right.
Which I've gotten to play a little bit of, and I'll be able to talk about next week. So just, it's going to be an amazing, like, for RPG fans, yet another great year. So that's what I'm looking forward to. What about you, Stein?
As you were talking there, I had to think about what's
coming out.
Yeah, what's discussed. The most immediate one probably on my horizon, and not to cop out, but it's going to be Hellblade. Like, I feel like that's the next one I'm ready to play. I'm ready to experience. I'm ready to see where Senua goes on her journey. And so I really love the first one. I enjoyed it a lot. The combat was kind of fun. And now we got a bit of dabble of that from the Game Awards.
I'm with you. Like, Hellblade is, of course, very top of mind. Obviously, so is Avowed. You know, both are in Developer Direct coming up soon, but also, like, games for this year. So we get to actually get our hands on the controllers soon.
I'm ready.
I have Like a Dragon and Avowed and Hellblade on my list, but also Star Wars Outlaws. We debuted the trailer for that in Showcase last year. Also, Hades 2 is supposed to release this year as well. So I think that's probably on a lot of people's 2024 list, if I had to guess.
Yeah, that's right up there.
All right, well, we want to know what's on your list, and that is the Free Code Friday question of the week. So when you see the tweet go up on twitter.com/XboxWire, the at is TikTok. Yeah, at TikTok. See that go up there, just let us know what you're looking forward to here in 2024. We will pick five winners, and each of those five winners will win multiple of those EA Sports games, such as EA Sports FC 24, NHL 24. We've got a couple other ones, so you'll get a bevy of codes for those of you who answer this question correctly.
Awesome. And that's everything we have for the very first episode of the year. Thanks for bearing with us in our cloudy, hazy holidays, foggy brain.
Warm-up round podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully everyone else is on the same track as well. And other than that, we will see you not next week, but the following week.
See you then.
Bye, everybody.